Hello and welcome to Learn With Us. Today I'm with Johan Ronsey. How's it going today, sir?
Pretty well. Of course, there's the situation out there. But other than that, I'm doing pretty well. So how are you?
Yeah, I did my shopping. I was glad to see meat on the shelves. I was kind of surprised. I was expecting to get to the store and just like, yeah. But got some chicken and meat mince and some potatoes and onions, so can eat. So
yeah, I guess it's good if you just buy for the next few days, but not for the next few weeks. It's a weird situation to be in, to be honest. I've thought about it all weekend, about outbreak, and like I ran some of my own numbers and I posted things to my neighbors, like to help all elderly people, like posted some flyers. So if they don't want to go out shopping, I could do it for them. Just basically doing some community stuff, because I didn't feel like maybe in a normal weekend I would work on some Svelte project or do some coding or something, but I didn't really feel like doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to keep going, because like eventually this thing will pass and we'll still need to work. And even now, this is the time we need to work hard, because if everybody slows down, then there's no hope. So, I mean, developers are kind of in a good situation in that we are still like, we can work from anywhere, but we're still dependent on the wider economy to have the demand for making websites.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're in the best possible situation. We're already set up for remote work. We can do our work from anywhere. We're not exposed to like any health risk, because like we're just in a room and we can basically isolate ourselves and get work done. It's pretty compared to some other professions. It's pretty great, and we're in a situation that we should be grateful for.
Yeah, any profession that's sort of live-based events or, you know, lots of crowds of people is going to take a huge hit. I mean, even hairdressers, I can't imagine them doing too well right now.
Yeah, just any job with people, you're just constantly exposing yourself to the risk. But my understanding that eventually, like what people are saying is that eventually 60 or 70% of people are going to get exposed, but you might just not get sick. That's my understanding. Like you might get exposed, but you might not get sick, but a lot of people around you will. Like the percentages of people getting sick would be pretty huge compared to what the health system can take. So I'm actually pretty astounded that some countries have not taken measures yet. And they're like 5 days behind Europe. Like in Belgium, they took measures on Thursday. Then on Friday, they kind of started the whole lockdown. And then in the Netherlands, they only did it on Sunday evening. But it seems like in the US, they have not woken up yet to what they need to do.
Well, the UK, they've still got the schools open, I think. My office shut down last Friday, so I'm working remote for 2 weeks, and we'll see how the situation develops.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the air travel will, you'll be stuck. I'm not just saying, don't want to worry you, but it's just something to think about.
Yeah, I'm sure my company will let me work remote for if I'm stuck here. So,
I think people are just trying to figure out what they need to do. Like yesterday, there was some news that Belgium wouldn't get enough face masks. So I'm actually in this Slack, which is a maker Slack. So it's about mostly like do-it-yourself kind of maker people, like people who are involved with 3D printing and this kind of Arduino tech stuff, make electronics. I'm not that involved in that community, but I was just interested in the light of like what can I do to help with the coronavirus. And basically they had a channel set up for that was called hashtag Corona Face Mask, and they were trying to figure out how you can build or make your own do-it-yourself face mask at home with like materials that you have lying around, because there's a mass shortage of face masks. So I just spent like an hour or two trying to make face masks myself yesterday. It's not that I'm super worried that I have to go out with a face mask today, or I will get something or catch it. Like if I maintain a safe distance from everyone and wash my hands, I'm sure I will be fine. But I think there's a social signal in there that like people should start thinking about this. What if there is an actual shortage of supplies, and maybe we should all like think for ourselves and make sure that we're prepared. Don't want to take it to extremes, but I think that's important.
Yeah, I'm not even bothering with face masks, because the way I see it is you touch the face mask with your hands, which is the most infected part. So as soon as you touch a mask, then you've already infected the mask and the virus will sit there. So you know, you can only really use them for like one day or one or two days, and they cost about 20 euros each now. So I just don't see the point of them. I mean, I'm sure they help if you have a clean one every day and you don't touch your face a lot and you're in a crowd of people, but I just think that they should be kept for the people that are like in hospitals and stuff.
Yeah, but that's why you have the do-it-yourself solution, where if you can make it for like 1 euro yourself at home, you make the face mask and then you go shopping and then you come back, and all the while you've like, let's say, protected yourself. I'm not sure if it's...
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's
just my theory. Like, you're mostly at home, and for that short amount of time that you're outside, you would use that face mask. But you could use a scarf. I mean, it's mostly about, like, not spreading too much of, like, whatever you're carrying to other people. Yeah. So a scarf would help. It's only a little bit, but it's just that there should be that signal of social distancing. Because I saw a video in Italy where basically they were queuing for a shop, and they would keep like an orderly distance of like 2 meters, 2.5 meters between each other. Whereas if I would go shopping, like yesterday, I just went to the shop and like people were just queuing as normal, so they didn't really... I was like the only one keeping a distance, so I felt like, they don't read the internet. Like, people don't seem to realize, even with the government measures in Belgium, that it's quite serious.
Mm-hmm. What I think will happen is that you have a bunch of people that recover, and these will be the people that will be able to go to work without any fear of really getting the virus. I mean, unless it's proven that you can be reinfected of the same strain, which I don't think is going to be likely. So what I think, we basically have a bunch of super troopers that are immune from this this virus, and the more people that recover will be able to do the more people type jobs. So maybe there'll be a lot of retraining going on. So you have this job requires immunity from coronavirus. What do you think?
I think we'll have to wait and see. Like, the numbers are evolving every day.
Yeah.
In China, they seem to have slowed down, but I'm not sure about, I don't really trust the information from China. I'm not sure that the numbers are accurate. So just looking at it, it seems like Italy has it worst in the, Italy has the worst situation in Europe. And, it's like other countries are 5 or 10 days or 15 days behind, and we'll have to see how it evolves. Maybe it will just be a month of staying in, and it will not be too bad. But looking at the current news and the current situation in hospitals, it's already bad, and maybe in the next 3 days is going to be the ultimate test of whether it's really going to get super bad or it's going to be manageable. So, like, people are dying, so I don't even want to use the word manageable, but it's like a difference between chaos and manageability, I would say.
This episode title is going to be Devs Talk About Coronavirus and Svelte Routify.
Yeah, we plan to like talk about Svelte, my side projects, who I am, and yada yada. But is it important? I guess people want to learn about that as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's just helpful for people to hear two developers talk about what they're feeling, and because a lot of developers will be able to relate to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's good to just talk about what's on your mind. Sure. You cannot not talk about it. Like, I would have a hard time talking about Svelte and then not making like some stupid coronavirus joke, because that would be what was on my mind.
Yeah, and, true.
Your thoughts just go towards that. And actually had two Svelte events that I was gonna do. So I was gonna give a talk on Thursday about using code as a design tool. Then I was gonna do a code along. So this was an event where people could join and build a Hacker News clone together with, let's say, me as a teacher, and then a group of volunteers who would help them if they were stuck. This was going to be on Friday, but both events got cancelled due to the coronavirus.
Yeah. The market's taking a beating this morning as well. The UK, the FTSE is down about 5%, 5.6%. Every day is like a once in a year event. It's happening constantly, you know.
Yeah, I don't buy stocks or sell stocks. I'm not watching that so much. But I heard from a friend that it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, EasyJet's only down 4% today, which is great news, because that's like, you think that those airlines are going bust.
Mm. I guess people just trust that long-term people will want to travel by plane.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute, I'm wrong. EasyJet down 30% today. 30%! In one day at airline stock. And that was a solid company about a few months ago. The stock price was huge, you know, so unbelievable. Yeah. And the cruise industry is just basically dying, because nobody wants to go on a cruise for at least a year.
Yeah, I think some businesses that are event-based, where all of their revenue is just based on this like single event per year, they have problems now. Like they won't be able to organize whatever event they organize next year because they don't have the funds from this year. And I'm just thinking about conference organizers in tech. How they're gonna go about it. Nobody's gonna, like, it's conference season, it's coming up, or it's maybe already happening, but usually there's a lot of conferences in April, May, June, beginning of June, and people are just not going to buy tickets because there's uncertainty about travel. They're just going to wait and see, and that's just going to affect anyone's travel plans, and then ultimately those organizers' revenue and their ability to organize events. So I'm curious how people will deal with it, like have more online events, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to go to an event or even a meetup right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, once in a generation event, if not once in a, hopefully it won't be a once in a century event, but definitely once in a generation event right now.
Yeah, there's like a few events that were world changing, like 9/11. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is one of them as well.
I think this is at least 10 times worse than 9/11. This is way bigger.
Because 9/11 was at a distance, like you saw the news and you could think about how it affected like your worldview, terrorism, what is going to change now, these kind of thoughts, but it was all still like only a, let's say, a political discussion. Of course, some terrorism happened closer to home, which was also bad. But this is, I guess, like you're saying, on a different scale.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's try and get some programming in this talk. So I contacted you because I saw you were involved in Svelte Routify, is that correct?
Yes, that's true.
Cool. And what is Routify?
So Routify is a Svelte-based, file-based router. So if you get involved learning Svelte, you'll soon see that there's a few routing solutions out there. The main one actually being Sapper. So Sapper is a side project to Svelte, which enables you to do more than the Svelte-based template. It includes routing. It includes a bunch more features. And then there's Routify. There's also a project called Svelte Routing. There's a bunch of routers, actually. And we work on Routify. Mostly started working on it because I felt that Sapper didn't fit my needs 100%. So that's why I'm working on it, not as a coder, but as a community role. I also do design for the website. I help a little bit with the documentation. So I'm not 100% a programmer. I do development, but not as my day job. So if I work on open source, I tend to stay a little bit more on the side where I can help the most.
Okay. I was playing around with Routify a little bit. It seems like I thought it was something that was used for, say, pure front-end SPE versions of Svelte, but actually it seems to be doing a lot of stuff that Sapper does. So it's like a competitor to Sapper, I guess, you call it that.
I've been thinking about this a lot because I think Sapper is great, and I think it's a very interesting project. They have very nice features, like there's something called, I think it's called server routes, and it's quite hard to explain. Like, I would have to look up the documentation, but it's been well thought out. But to be honest, it's a bit inactive on the development side. So whenever people choose open source projects, they always look at how active is this GitHub repository, how stable is this project, how many people are contributing to it, in order to make a choice about what to invest in. Let's say you want to run your company website on and use a certain router or use a certain technology, or you're building your next web application. Of course, you want it to be a safe choice for the next X amount of years. And I think Svelte in itself is a pretty great choice. I think Sapper is a stable project that has a lot of use cases, and you could definitely build a nice project with Sapper, but it's a little bit inactive. So that's why we're building this alternative, and maybe some of the thinking behind this alternative can come back to Sapper.
So what kind of things does it do differently from Sapper?
So I don't have a direct comparison, but there's some features that we're working on that are quite detailed that I don't think Sapper is working on at all. So one of them is animations between pages, so transitions between pages. That's a bit experimental, but it allows you to define if you change route to transition the page to with a nice animation.
Cool. Yeah, I was looking at the example repo. Got a lot of different examples on the routing, but I didn't have time to actually play with it a lot. I was basically just trying to knock up a quick website, but I went with just normal static export from Sapper.
Mm-hmm. I think another thing that I've been working on that's quite detailed, but also quite important, is accessibility. So basically, screen readers They don't do well with single page applications because if you use a screen reader, so this is a tool that reads out your screen. Let's say you're visually impaired and you either cannot see very well or not at all. You might use a screen reader software, which would be something like NVDA or JAWS or VoiceOver on Mac, and it would read out your screen. And if you change web pages in a single page application, the screen reader does not realize that you have actually changed your page. It doesn't read out any page change because the DOM has not actually changed, or only parts of the DOM have changed. So it's just quite confusing for a screen reader user to navigate through a single page application. You have to do some extra work to make it clear and to mitigate this issue. Mm-hmm. And this seems like a niche issue maybe, but the EU directive to make all websites accessible, it's there, so it's required by law to make all websites, especially government websites, 100% accessible. So basically, if your router doesn't support that, you just simply cannot use it if you want to maintain that accessibility standard for your website.
So I'm just checking the Routify website, which is, we can go to GitHub and we can just search for Svelte Routify, but the example I'm looking at is called example.routify.dev/example, and it has a modal thing. So what's this modal? How does that work? Is that like a back-end thing it's doing, or is it sort of exported to the front-end?
So if you click that modal example, you'll see that URL switches to /basic.
Yeah.
There's an animated modal as well.
Yeah.
And what it's actually doing is that there's like a slotted layout system in Routify. So in any folder, you can put an underscore layout file, and then for any file within that folder, it's going to choose that. It's going to use whatever is in the layout file combined with a slot element to provide the content for the page. But you can put like subfolders into subfolders into subfolders, and each of them can have layouts. And that would be like, I don't know what to call it, like a child system of slotted layouts. It's quite difficult to put terms on it. If you would see it in code, or if you would see it in a file structure, it would probably be more clear than it is in words. And I think what Jacob is, Jacob is the creator of Routify, or the main developer of Routify. I think what he's trying to show in this example is that this kind of slotted behavior for subcontent like a modal, because in a modal you usually have the page that there's a page behind the light box or the modal box, so that's what he's trying to show here.
I see the example folder, you go /modal/animated, and you have this sort of layout of the slots.
Mm-hmm. And then in the examples, you can also see the transitions. That's what I was talking about, the animations between pages. Mm-hmm. So the last tab is transitions. And then you can see an example of a, kind of like a mobile app with a bottom bar where the pages transition nicely between each other.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And I find that to be quite exciting.
Is that something that you can just do with vanilla Svelte out the box?
Well, the problem is that vanilla Svelte out of the box doesn't have routing.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't actually end up at a URL. Like, you can transition two divs into each other, no problem. But it would be like hard-coded into like a single Svelte component, and the URL would not change. Whereas in any real web application, you need the URL change, and you also need that if you go direct to that URL change, that the state of your page is what you would expect by going to that URL.
Yeah, I wonder if I could do it with Svelte routing, because that's what I'm using for my one of my websites.
I think with the base Svelte template, you quickly run into problems. The base Svelte template doesn't do much more than the REPL does, and it's only useful for learning Svelte. If you want to build a web application or any kind of website, you'll quickly need a solution like Zapper or Routify.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I use Svelte routing. That's a library by ML Thompson, I think.
Yeah, ML Tolin. But same again. It doesn't seem that maintained to me. I love that everyone's trying to come up with solutions, but if I'm going to depend our company website and some web applications on a router, I want it to be maintained. So that's why I'm working on Routify to make sure that this key part of an application is something that's taken care of in a good way. And what you see if you go to the example at Routify.dev or Routify.dev is that the website at the moment shows documentation, but that's actually the old website, and we're working on a new website to have better documentation, new layout, new logo, just a bit of general professionalism to show that it's actually being worked on. I think the old site is fine as a first version, but we're just making it better, and we have a Discord channel where there's a few people talking about Routify in particular that anyone can join. So we're just trying to make it almost more like a community thing as well, where if you look at successful open source projects, they have communities around them. So we're also trying to be accessible to questions, make sure that anyone who feels like documentation is maybe unclear, that they can have both access to the people who make it and access to the community to try and figure out how to improve their code so they can get their applications to work.
Yeah. I think that a lot of open source projects, they have a sort of fork of routers. I don't know why they just don't have the routers built into it. Like, look at React. You had two projects going for a long time, and then big split of the user developer community, and then eventually they settled on one. But even Facebook couldn't have a single routing library for a while.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know that much about the React community and what was going on there. I'm primarily a UI designer. I design a lot of interfaces. I spend a lot of time in design apps like Figma and Sketch, and not so much time in development. And that's maybe one of the reasons that I'm attracted to Svelte, is that for me, with my background of HTML and CSS, it's so easy to get into, whereas React is much more difficult to get into. Mm-hmm.
So what is it that makes Svelte more easy for you than, say, React or Angular or Ember, et cetera, et cetera?
I'm sorry, there was an audio glitch.
What is it about Svelte that makes it for you easier to get and understand than say React or Ember or other frameworks?
So specifically React, you have to understand ECMAScript 6, ES6, or the latest in JavaScript to be productive in React. So you have to understand destructuring, arrow function, some JavaScript functions, and how to, let's say mappers, reducing, like there's all kinds of stuff you need to understand, because you're basically manipulating JavaScript objects and then trying to write them out to user interface using JSX. So there's a lot of different concepts that you have to understand, and there's a lot of different ways to go about writing React. And anytime I try to get into React code, I just get very confused about what the way is to do things. There are these blog posts that show like 10 ways to do code differently. Like, should you use hooks? Should you use effects? Like, I don't know. And it seems like in Svelte, it's much more clear what the path forward is if you're making something, if you're making code. Of course, it has similar concepts, but I just feel like you can get a lot done in Svelte without writing 100% JavaScript. Like, you can write a lot of things in HTML, you can write a lot of things in CSS. So I can basically easily split the designer side of things, the part that I truly understand, from the developer side of things. There's a template language in the middle. It's just all kinds of different aspects that make it more clear to me than React.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. I mean, the web was, I guess, originally designed to be a sort of democratized system, more simple for lots of people to use. But nowadays, web development, you almost need a 10 years experience and, just to get the hang of code, 10 years experience coding to get the hang of some of these code bases. So if Svelte comes in and lowers a barrier to entry, then that's great. Great news.
Yeah, like Rich Harris, the creator of Svelte, has a great presentation about Svelte as an enabler, and he compares Svelte to jQuery, where jQuery was, maybe people now love with jQuery, and you should not use jQuery anymore, but at the time it was a great enabler. And I think Svelte is also a great enabler for people who are maybe not coming from that place of having learned a lot of JavaScript the past 4 years in like an academic context, because I see people like 22 years old claim like React is easy, it's all JavaScript, and they forget that they've spent the last 4 years studying JavaScript as a programming language, but also JavaScript as a programming language with the documentation that has been available only the last 6 years. So they are in some kind of unique position that there's all these resources that are correct now, and they've been in an academic context for a couple of years, and now they can claim it's easy, but they are in a very specific situation, because for many years, from let's say 2000 to 2014, there were no good JavaScript resources. There were books, but they were like kind of talking about the browser wars and talking about the limited things you can do with JavaScript, and maybe that you should not use JavaScript. And it was just different. Like, I come from the web standards community, and it was just not like it is today, where you have tons of resources and screencasts about learning JS.
Yeah, totally. I mean, web development is not easy. I mean, don't let anyone kid people. I mean, you have to, CSS is tricky. There's a lot of niche skills on there. Even just learning how to put together maintainable JavaScript is a hard thing to do. It takes a lot of experience to do that. And so many code bases out there are just so unmaintainable. And most of the people that are decision makers don't understand how bad sometimes their code actually is that's been left there by agencies.
Yeah. And I think Svelte puts you on the right track to write good code, because it kind of forces you to write your HTML in an HTML-like layer, and you write CSS, not some form of CSS. So I think it has really good defaults. Like, even the compiler says if you forgot your alt text on an image. So there's so many good things about there. So I claimed on Twitter, there was this conversation, I claimed like, okay, if I would have a code school, I would have to teach people the basics of web development. I would definitely use Svelte, because it's just so easy to get into. And that's where that whole conversation and thoughts came from, about the people who said, oh, but React is so easy, it's pure JavaScript, I don't have to learn anything. But I'm just thinking, coming from a side of, let's say, you're not trained as a programmer at all, how easy would it be to learn React or Svelte? I think coming from that like non-programmer side, I would definitely have an easier time explaining Svelte to someone
100%.
Than React.
So have you seen any demand for Svelte from companies?
I think we're in this weird situation right now where there are... Well, first of all, I think it's a bit stupid to put out a job post that asks for a React developer. Like, you should put out a job post for a JavaScript developer or even just for a web developer, because it shouldn't really matter that much which tool you're using. We are also not hiring Figma designers or Sketch designers. We don't even mention the tool in the job post. We say something vague like, should be able to work with modern design tools. Because to be honest, if you can't get productive with a new app like Framer or something in 7 days, you're going to have a problem anyway in our company. So the thing is, are we now waiting for companies to specifically put out Svelte job ads? I think that's like a wrong ask. I do think there's demand in the market for JavaScript developers, and if those JavaScript developers use Svelte as a tool, then it's just already being used. So I don't think we can measure the success of Svelte by the amount of demand for Svelte developers out there. But if people do use it or mention it in like a list of skills they would like you to have, like let's say a bullet point that says experience with React / Vue / Svelte, that's always nice to see. And it's proof that Svelte is on the rise and people are trusting it and thinking that knowing it is a valuable skill. But that being said, I haven't seen much demand. I wish there was more.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's just there's sort of a lag between, I mean, developers can pick up a technology, hear about it, start using it. But companies, there's a sort of 1 or 2 year lag before they like, yeah, let's invest in Svelte, because it is an investment. And you're picking a, if you're a startup and you need to make a product, or you're a big company, people are going to go with the safe decisions, and no one's doesn't want to take that risk to say, oh, I'll use this front end technology and then it might not be maintained or something like that.
But I think there's, I've been having a lot of thoughts about Gatsby in particular, because Gatsby is kind of like the React equivalent of Routify, in a sense that it's a router with a lot of features and you could use it to make a static site. It has SSR support, which Routify also has. It has plugins to help with SEO, Open Graph, to make sure the right metadata is on your web pages. So Routify isn't really in particular a router that's made for websites, but I am making websites with it. So I want the features to have like a proper website code base. And Gatsby does the same. And to compare them with each other is just quite interesting, because Gatsby is trusted worldwide, but it doesn't have that much more features than Routify. It has a complex code base, but it's not that much bigger. And I think there's also some value in the velocity of being able to make a change, because in Gatsby, you're going to have to fight a community of 10 contributors or 10 core contributors and hundreds of others if you want to make a core change. Whereas within a smaller project, the code base is just way smaller, and if you want a particular feature, it's still doable to work it in yourself. Whereas if the project is too mature, it's too massive, it's just hard to bring it in the direction that you want it to go.
So how do you promote a community or build a community around an open source project like Svelte to get more popular and more mainstream?
So there's been a lot of community efforts around the world. There's the Svelte Society Twitter account, and there's a lot of meetups. So I think the first aspect of building communities, organizing meetups, getting people together, talking about Svelte as a framework, what you can do with it, why it's great. So there's a few talks that have the topic of like why I am excited about Svelte or why I love Svelte.js. So I think that's the first part, like to get people excited. And then next to that, when people are actually using it, maybe making side projects or experiments with it to mature the project. So to make sure that people trust Svelte, it needs to be a bit more mature. So people can work on open source contributions on the parts that they feel they are missing to versus something that's more mature, like let's say Gatsby on the React side. And through talking to each other, through the community contributions, through maybe events that then grow into something bigger, like let's say a Svelte conference, like somebody should really make that at some point, like the first real Svelte conference, it's gonna grow and then almost become this like snowball of people working on it. And in the end, I think you can put Svelte right next to Vue.js or React in terms of community size. That's my theory, and that's what I think should happen over the next few months/years.
Yep, I agree. Cool. So how do people get in touch with you and your company, and what does your company do?
So my company is called Mono. We are a team of 5 UI UX designers. We're also sometimes involved on the front end. So we make HTML prototypes, or we sometimes even use Svelte to make our prototypes. And the reason that we do that, because we make user interfaces, and the reason that we use code sometimes is to make it truly interactive. How do people get in touch? There's a website. It's https://mono.company. So mono.company, M-O-N-O. The dot company, so that's the TLDs. It's not .com, .company. I always have to explain that. My Twitter is wolfer_2. So I tweet a lot about technology, but also about politics and whatever is on my mind. So that's 2 ways to get in touch with me. Either go to the company website and find the contact link, or follow me on Twitter, or send me a DM.
Cool, Rohan. So what's your plans for the rest of the week?
I think I'm going to have a regular work week. Actually, I have some people who were supposed to be on holiday who are not on holiday because of the coronavirus. So my next task is to figure out what they should do this week, come up with a plan. I wouldn't say fill their days. It's unexpected that there's so many people in the company who are not on holidays. So I think I'll start some side project things to promote the company, and then get back to the real work as soon as possible.
Yeah, I really hope the real world gets real again, you know. And actually, I think China's doing okay now. They've got the cases have gone down and people going back to work. Apple stores are opening, so hopefully we'll reach that point pretty soon. Otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, I also hope that things get normal as soon as possible.
Yeah. So I apologize to all my listeners for my depressed tone this morning, but I will excuse myself for this today.
Yeah, I think it's normal that we're all a bit flustered. So I would also like to excuse myself for my very unstructured thoughts, where I'm thinking about the pandemic, then trying to explain Svelte community stuff, but really thinking about the pandemic. So, I think maybe it's good. Like, people can relate, or I hope listeners can relate. And we have these thoughts of what should I do? Should I just move on with my life and try to like pretend like everything is normal? And I see people tweeting about like, I was doing this anyway, like isolating myself, staying at home, working from home. So what's different? But I think it's different because society is different around you. Even if your habits stay more or less the same, things are different. Like I can't go to the gym anymore. It's closed. If I go outside, it just feels different. So I think people will respond to whatever is happening in their own country in their own ways. And we can't just pretend like nothing is happening.
Yes, and on that note, I think we'll definitely revisit this topic again. I think this morning we're a bit... but it's good to get out there, you know, how we feel about what's going on from a dev perspective.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious if other podcasts will, like, talk about... I'm sure they will talk about it, but I'll be curious to hear, like, a similar talk like we just had between others.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool, man. Anything else you want to share with our audience before we wrap it up?
No, I think I've said what I wanted to say. Thanks for inviting me on the podcast. Yeah, and I would say enjoy the rest of your day in the circumstances that we are in.
Yep, I will try to enjoy my day. Apart from that sick feeling in my stomach about what's happening, I'll try to enjoy my day. Get something cooking and stuff like that. So.
All right, great.
Okay,
thank
buddy.
You.
It's an honor to have you on the show. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, my listeners, for joining us. See you again shortly on Learn With Us. And stay healthy. And see you later. Bye-bye.